Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents time. It's Dueling Tangents time, everybody. Well, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That over there is Luke. You're coming to us live on the southern swath of Wisconsin. I am the Waukesha part of the southern swath of Wisconsin on 540 AM as well as 1580 AM. Over on your side. Sorry, your volume is killing me, man. I was literally cutting sound on the last second on the way in here, so I'm a little bit flustered. Anyway, it's 5:40 a.m. here in Washington.
No,
it's cool, dude.
We're kind of a little discombobulated here. I am
in problem solving mode right now.
We are. We're scrambling a little bit because we just wrapped up the surprise testimony. It was previously unscheduled before. About afternoon yesterday, like around noon yesterday, we found out that the House Select Committee on January 6th was going to put on another public hearing today. It wasn't on the schedule. They were not set to meet before the 4th of July holiday. They weren't going to be back from recess until after, I believe, not even next week, the following week. They were supposed to be back, like, I want to say July 11th was going to be the first week, July 11th, 12th. 13th, 14th, 15th was going to be the week we would hear from the House Select Committee again. And Brian, they said, we got some stuff to share. And somebody came forward, and it was Cassidy Hutchinson. She was the former executive assistant, essentially, to the chief of staff. She was in the chief of staff's office, Mark Meadows, who was, as they pointed out in today's testimony, the fourth chief of staff for Donald Trump. In his first presidency, went through four chiefs of staff.
He hires usually good people.
He hires the best people, Brian. But we're diving into this. You are listening to us here on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. That's where Brian's broadcast.
That's
is
where
from.
I am at. And you're in 1580 AM. That's WTTN as well as 92.7 FM Radio.
I'm holding down the fort at the Solidarity Realty Studios. And we want to hear your reactions to this testimony. If you were listening, we were just broadcasting it live on the southern swath of Wisconsin as well as on the Devil Radio app. So you can take our stations with you wherever you go and listen wherever in Wisconsin or around the nation you are.
Anytime you have the internet available.
Right. We want to hear your reaction, though, to this testimony, because, Brian, in my opinion, this might have been the most damning so far.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty indicative, and it's showing a lot of the, as a former president had tweeted out once in his presidency, a lot of smocking guns. We got a lot of smocking guns all over the place.
Smocking guns everywhere.
But if we want to hear your reactions, so give us a call, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. But we had some Wisconsin ties to this testimony, Brian, from the House Select Committee.
Yeah, Mike Gallagher. They played Mike Gallagher at the time.
Yeah, the video that we shared previously leading up to these hearings, we had a feeling that Mike Gallagher and his calling for the president at the time, on January 6th, as the violence was taking place
at
the Capitol, to call it off. He referred to it as banana republic crap.
Yeah, also call it off.
Yeah, call it off.
Not hey, can you tell the other people there, can you tell them to stop it? They seem to want to listen to you or something like that. Call it off as in, hey, I know the plan, call it off.
As in, hey, you're responsible for why the violence is happening, call it off. And so that was the Wisconsin tie that we got most specifically. But we also just learned a lot more information. We got a firsthand account, Brian, for what was going on in and around the Oval Office in the events leading up from January 2nd to January 6th that afternoon. And how the entire, from the speech that morning to the mob marching up to the Capitol and Trump having a... Brian, the former president literally tried to grab the wheel of the beast, which is the presidential vehicle,
to take control from the back seat. He doesn't know how to drive.
No, I can't. What do you think the last time he drove a vehicle was in a movie?
He does think that things happen in movies. He probably thought that he was being like Liam Neeson or Harrison Ford at the time, and he was going to have to say, "Give me back my family." But instead, it's, "Give me back my things. I don't. Oh, I have a family." Like, that's really what he don't care.
Yeah,
about
he probably that's probably a pretty accurate description of his mindset at the time. But he was so upset with the fact that after he left his speech, he told the speechgoers, because they were still speechgoers at that time. They weren't all rioters at that point. Mm-hmm. But he told the people attending his speech, Brian, that he was going to march up to the Capitol. And when the Secret Service did not take him to the Capitol, instead, they took him back to the Oval Office in the West Wing, he was furious. But one of the biggest bombshells leading up to that point of the testimony, Brian, he was so upset before going out to take the stage at the Ellipse that day that the crowd size was too small.
I know.
Because Secret Service had set up a perimeter, and there was mags or metal detectors that the speechgoers had to go through, Brian, to be able to go up near the stage. They had to be screened by the Secret Service because they don't want people with weapons going to that close of a vicinity to the president of the United States.
Oh, no, those guns aren't for me. Those guns aren't for me.
That's what the president said.
I mean, they're for me. I mean, they're here for me. I mean, the guns are here for me, but they're not for me
to direct towards the Capitol. And he acknowledged that.
How are they going to do it without the guns?
Cassidy Hutchinson, the witness today before the U.S. House Select Committee for January 6th, she testified saying that Secret Service, before Trump even got to the Ellipse, so in pre-planning, in the advance team of them setting up the perimeter and allowing individuals to go through the metal detectors around the Ellipse to attend the speech, Secret Service was getting reports that weapons were being confiscated and that there was numerous people outside of the actual enclosed area of the speech around the Ellipse. People were staying on the outside of the metal detectors, Brian, because they didn't want their weapons to be confiscated. They had weapons, and they didn't want to lose them for what you could only assume to be plans later in the day to use them or threaten to use them. And so Trump was frustrated because not everybody was right up on the stage. So he was instructing from behind the stage in the tent that Cassidy Hutchinson, today's witness, was in. She testified hearing the president say, remove the mags, remove the metal detectors, let them in. I know they have weapons. Those guns aren't for me, like you alluded to, Brian. She heard the president say, let the people with weapons in past the perimeter. They're not going to hurt me. Those weapons aren't for me. Like, he acknowledges that there are individuals there with weapons that he is in getting ready to incite to commit violence. He's telling them to fight like hell. That was a direct quote from that day, Brian.
Yep.
And he wanted the Secret Service to be like, oh, well, forget the perimeter. Let them in. They're not going to hurt me. We're gonna go and we're going to march up to the Capitol and we are going to fight like hell.
Great job.
That is today's testimony, Brian.
Do you think that he was really mad that he didn't get to go to the Capitol because I'm going to try to say this without laughing. Do you think that he was really upset that he couldn't fulfill the promise he made to his followers to be there?
I think
he was mad about I made them a promise I'd be with them. I can't fulfill my promise.
No, I think he knew, Brian, that he was free of criminal investigation because of the Office of Legal Counsel for the president had submitted that memo saying that you can't investigate a sitting president. And this was the final attempt for him to try to continue to be the sitting president, where that legal memo was going to hold water still.
They'll never let me call martial law without a bunch of guns shooting up the Capitol.
I think he knew it was his fleeting chance that if he did not maintain power through a violent overthrow of the U.S. government, with his rioters going up to the Capitol and disrupting the certification of the 2020 election on January 6th, he knew that was his final attempt, Brian, and that is why he was so desperate. That is why he was telling people in the Secret Service to let everybody in, because he wanted the photo op. That was ego. And he wanted the photo op of a big crowd while he was giving his speech, and he knew that the people that couldn't be in that photo had weapons, and they were going to use them to threaten Congress and attack Congress, as we saw unfold.
Do you think he would have walked in there? Do you think he would have walked in there and said, "You can't stop me, I'm the president"?
I think he would have absolutely tried to do what he did during the summer of 2020 when he had the Department of Defense clear protesters from in front of the White House so that he could go take a photo op with an upside down Bible at the church across the street of the White House. I absolutely believe that if he had the security detail and the Secret Service secured it, that he would have attempted to walk right into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and attempt to, if it was successful, Brian, they would have hung Mike Pence and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. They would have done it, and I believe he would have walked right in there.
Martial law, and then put everybody that had that did it to death, and then he would have been clean and free and clear. But again, those people, some people would be free to ravage the countryside, and then you couldn't get rid of the martial law part, and then, oh, well, Trump's there for life, right?
Brian, firsthand testimony that was the events that were unfolding. Firsthand testimony. Cassidy Hutchinson, she was the top-ranking official in the Chief of Staff's office, and she has firsthand accounts of reports from the Secret Service, from members of Congress, from the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, that are all pointing that Donald Trump was trying to overthrow the peaceful transfer of power in the United States on January 6th. Mike Flynn testified, he pled the fifth, Brian, to the question of, do you believe in the peaceful transfer of power? That is what Mike Flynn, General Mike Flynn, testified, I take the fifth in order not to self-incriminate myself.
In answering, I believe in the transfer of power.
Folks,
peacefully.
This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're giving our reactions to today's shocking bombshell testimony from the U.S. House Select Committee on January 6th. Taking your phone calls as well. We want to hear what you think. 844-967-2789. We got a number of other Wisconsin headlines we're going to get to as well.
Trump, take the wheel.
Don't drive angry.